Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Hallelujah, what a Savior. Hallelujah, what a friend.
Today we're going to study Ruth as a type of the New Testament church, and I don't mean the local church, but I mean the body of Christ, the organism, not the organization, not the building and the people in it, but those who are saved that are in Jesus Christ that make up the body of Christ. We want to talk about this today because in Ruth chapter 1, 2, 3, and 4, we see a number of things that let us know something about the relationship between Ruth and Boaz as a picture of the relationship between the church and the Lord Jesus Christ. So today we study Ruth as a type of the church, and in the next lesson we'll study Boaz as a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the two studies together, really, as far as helping you with your Bible study, they really are fascinating. Anytime you find Old Testament typology that represents New Testament biblical truth, it continues to affirm your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and your understanding of the relationship that we have with Him. Plus, it also helps with your Old Testament Bible reading, because then you realize I'm not just reading a cute story about Ruth and Boaz that takes up four chapters of my Old Testament reading, but I'm reading something that is a veiled understanding of a tremendous New Testament doctrine. It really opens up more Bible understanding, more Bible interest, hopefully. There are a lot of people who just want you to discard the Old Testament altogether and spend all your time in the Pauline epistles. And truly, truly, they are our doctrine. But, oh, I'm telling you, this Old Testament stuff is just loaded with things that really help us with our understanding of the New Testament. Ruth and Boaz represent many types. She represents types of the church. He represents types of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so today we're going to study Ruth as a type of the church. First of all, we find right away in Ruth chapter 1, verse 4, that she was a stranger. The Bible says, "And they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other was Ruth. And they dwell there about 10 years. All right, so Ruth is not a Hebrew. She is not a Jew. She is a Moabite. She is a stranger. She's actually from an area where God did not want the Jews to intermarry. But here He, of course, makes an exception. And since she was from Moab and she was not Hebrew, therefore she was a Gentile. Well, you know, when you consider the church, typically, the church is referred to or called the Gentile bride of Jesus Christ. And that's because most of the people in the church are made up of non-Jews. You know, when the gospel begins to get preached in Acts chapter 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, like that, you see all that stuff going on. God's dealing predominantly with Israel. But with the stoning of Stephen in Acts chapter 7, the gospel moves from predominantly going to Israel to predominantly going to the Gentiles. You see, when the book of Acts opens, God's dealing with Israel all the way up until Acts chapter 7 at the stoning of Stephen. And then you get to Acts chapter 8, you have the salvation of the Ethiopian eunuch. Acts chapter 9, you have the salvation of Saul. And then suddenly in Acts chapter 10, you have the salvation of Cornelius, who's an Italian, a Gentile. And then Peter makes his statement in Acts chapter 11 regarding salvation now going out to the Gentiles. And from then on, you see the gospel predominantly as a Gentile gospel. So the bride of Christ is typically referred to as the Gentile bride of Jesus Christ. And most of the people in the bride are made up of strangers. That's why Paul makes this statement in Ephesians chapter 2, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. Look what he says. Actually, we go all the way to verse 13. Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. So you see, in the marriage of Ruth to Boaz, she is no longer considered a stranger, but rather she becomes the mother of Obed, who is the father of Jesse, who is the father of David the king. And so she goes right into the line of Christ. Very, very interesting comparison. Second thing about Ruth as a type of the church is that she turned from her God to the Lord God. Look with me in verse 16 of Ruth chapter 1. And Ruth said, and she's talking to Naomi, "Entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people," watch it, "and thy God, my God." So she has to leave her God. The God of the Moabites is Chemosh, C-H-E-M-O-S-H. So she had to leave the God of Moab and take up the God who is the true God, the Lord God. So she had to turn from her idolatry to the true God. You know something? The Bible is filled with that in the New Testament. In Acts chapter 26, when Paul is giving his testimony before Agrippa, he says, among other things about his ministry, in Acts chapter 26, verse 18, "to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light," watch it, "and from the power of Satan unto God." So that repentance there is turning from serving the devil, which we did before we got saved, to turning toward serving the Lord God. Look at it again in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. And look what Paul says about this church in verse 9. Very interesting. People don't think about this enough, but in salvation, there is a turning away from something. And in the bride of Christ, there was definitely turning away from idolatry to the Lord God. Look at this in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 9. "For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God." That's exactly what Ruth did. So she was a stranger, like we were, and she turned from her God to the Lord God, like we did when we got saved. I'll tell you something else. She was steadfastly minded. Look in Ruth chapter 1 and verse 18. Naomi noticed this about Ruth right away. She says, "When she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her." In other words, there wasn't anything that was going to dissuade Ruth from following Naomi. She was very persistent. She was determined. Now, when Paul writes to the church in Corinth, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he tells them, now listen, he says, "You guys, you need to stick with this." He says in verse 57 of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, "Thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore," verse 58, "my beloved brethren, be ye," watch it, "steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." So she was steadfastly minded, and we are to be steadfast and unmovable in our service to the Lord God. So there's a great picture there. In other words, when you start making this comparison between Ruth and the church, and you see some things going on in the life of Ruth, they give you a better, or let's say a concise picture of things going on with us in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is an encouragement to me. I see Ruth and I see her determination to stay with Naomi. And I think how many people have not been that determined to stay with the Lord Jesus Christ whenever, you know, they hit upon some sort of a hard or bitter experience. Now they turn their back on the Lord Jesus Christ or turn their back on the church. You know, that's a bad situation here. Ruth was not like that at all. And we need, see, to take encouragement from what we see in the life of Ruth. Here's another type. Ruth is a type of the church, not only in that she was a stranger and she turned from her God to the Lord God and that she was steadfastly minded, but notice in chapter 2, she worked in Boaz's harvest fields. Now, Boaz is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ, as we'll see in the next lesson. So when she goes to work, she works in his fields. Look in chapter 2 in verses 1 through 3. Naomi had a kinsman of her husband, a mighty man of wealth, of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. And Ruth, the Moabitess, said unto Naomi, Let me go to the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her, Go, my daughter. And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and her hap was to light on a part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech. Now look at it one more time in Ruth chapter 2 at verse 23. So she kept fast by the maidens of Boaz to glean unto the end of barley harvest and of wheat harvest and dwelt with her mother-in-law. And where she's gleaning is she's gleaning in his fields. Okay? Verses 7 to 9 show you a little bit more of that as well. You can read the whole chapter and get the picture. What's the significance there? Well, the significance is that the Lord also has a harvest. And he told his disciples, he said, that they were to look up and notice that the fields were already white under harvest. You see, they said this when Jesus Christ was dealing with the woman at the well. They were a little bit curious about his dealings with a Samaritan woman. And they were also curious about his dealings with her alone when nobody else was around. And they were also curious about the fact that he was dealing with her and not concerned about his need to eat since they had gone into town to buy some food. And Jesus said to them in John chapter 4, verse 34, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Verse 35, Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. So you see, when Ruth got there and noticed that there was a harvest in season, she didn't sit there and say, Okay, now, I have followed you to this country. What in the world are we going to do to get something to eat? She didn't say that. She looked up. And she saw that the fields were ready to be harvested, and she's the one that said to Naomi, Let me go to the field and glean. And so she went. She lifted up her eyes, you see. She got busy in the harvest. And notice when Jesus Christ spoke to his disciples in John 4:34, he said, To do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Well, his work involves his harvest. And when you go to Matthew chapter 9, and you read the famous prayer request that Jesus Christ says we should make. Notice very carefully what he says here. Notice how he defines it. In Matthew chapter 9, verses 37 and 38. All right, in Matthew chapter 9, verses 37 and 38, he said unto his disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Watch it. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. See, Jesus said it's his work. And Jesus said it's his harvest. And you know what Ruth did? She went and she gleaned in the harvest fields that belonged to Boaz. So when you think about the work that needs to be done for the Savior, you need to remember something. In the church, we work his fields. I think too often these days people have developed their own fields and want the Lord Jesus Christ to work with them in their fields. That's not Ruth. And that's not the duty of the church. You see how the study of typology clarifies some truths in the New Testament when you see them in the life of somebody like Ruth in the Old Testament? Well, it's fascinating. All right, here's another thing. Ruth is a type of the church in that she was a good worker. Look with me in chapter 2 at verse 7. She said, and then this is the man who's over the reapers. Okay? He's the servant of Boaz, but he's also the one that's in charge. He's like the foreman on the job. Ruth comes to him to request permission to glean in the fields. As she said, I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came and hath continued even from the morning until now that she tarried a little in the house. So she's not messing around. She got there early. She started working. He said that she tarried little in the house. She didn't take much time for refreshment. She's been after the work all day. She was a good worker. And you know something? We need to be good workers for the Lord. And not just in the things that we do to feed ourselves, although those things are very important. We need to do this as unto the Lord. But also those things we do specifically for Him. Look in Titus chapter 3. Titus actually, the whole book is, I think, makes reference to good works 5 times. But we'll just go to Titus chapter 3 and look at 2 references because they emphasize the need for you and I to be involved in the Lord's work and to do a good job of it. Titus chapter 3, look at verse 8. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. Then look at verse 14. And let ours also learn to maintain good works for necessary uses, that they be not unfruitful. Well, Ruth was very fruitful. And she was a very good worker, and it was noted by the foreman that she had come in there to glean after the reapers among the sheaves, and he noticed that she was a very hard worker. You know something? I wonder if Jesus Christ notices that you're a hard worker and that you're involved in good works for Him in His fields. Ruth makes an excellent type of the church, doesn't she? That's very convicting when we see her life. Notice something else. She humbled herself before Boaz. Look in Ruth chapter 2 at verse 10. He gives her permission and also tells her, listen, I don't want you to go to anybody else's field. You stay with my folks and we'll give you whatever you need to drink. And in verse 10, she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, why have I found grace in thine eyes that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I'm a stranger? See, we've already talked about that part. She humbled herself before Boaz. Very, very good thing. You see, in the church, really and truly, there's a lot of exaltation now. In other words, a lot of ministries have wealth, they have lots of members, and so it's very easy when that's going on to lose your sense of individual humility before the Lord. It's also very easy to lose the corporate humility of the church before the Lord. Like I said, we start expecting the Lord to work for us in our things rather than us working for Him in His things. The church in Laodicea in Revelation chapter 3 was a perfect example. They said, we're rich and increased with goods, have need of nothing. You know, what's wrong with us? I mean, you can tell from the balance sheet how well we're doing. I heard a fellow the other day talking about increasing his internet traffic from 1 million hits, I guess, in a year to 10 million, as if that were some measure of his success in his ability to minister for the Lord. Probably what it really indicates is his success in being able to manage the technology may not have anything to do with the effectiveness of his ministry at all. And you have to be careful in those areas. I'm not saying that it isn't that way, but it's very easy when ministries get big like that to suddenly value the ministry based on its finances, its outreach, its number of people, etc., etc. And you have to be careful about that. When Jesus Christ was measuring the gifts at the temple, He said that widow did the best, and she gave the least, but it was all that she had. In 1 Peter chapter 5, we see in verses 6 and 7 this thing regarding humility that we need to remember. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6 says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. And may I tell you that during your earthly life and ministry, that's not the time for exaltation. The time of exaltation comes at the judgment seat of Christ and when you reign and rule with the Lord Jesus Christ during His millennial reign. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. So she humbled herself before Boaz, and we likewise should humble ourselves before our groom, the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice something else. She was rewarded for her labor. Look again in Ruth chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. Boaz answered and said unto her, If it hath fully been showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother and thy land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore, the Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. She was rewarded for her labor. And you know something? When you work for the Lord Jesus Christ as a member of his church, as a member of, you know, his bride, you likewise are going to be rewarded for those things that you do for him. Colossians chapter 3, verses 23 and 24 say this, Whatsoever you do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. And you see, Boaz wasn't just talking about her being rewarded with a sufficient amount of barley harvested that day, but being rewarded by the Lord God of Israel, like you and I will be rewarded by the Lord Jesus Christ. Very, very interesting parallel there. Something that we should keep in mind continuously. Notice something else. This is very important. She was separated. She was separated. Look in chapter 2 of Ruth, verses 21 and 23 through 23. The Bible says, Ruth the Moabitess said, Boaz said unto me also, Thou shalt keep fast by my young men until they have ended all my harvest. And Naomi said unto Ruth her daughter-in-law, It is good, my daughter, that thou go with his maidens, that they meet thee not in any other field. So she kept fast by the maidens of Boaz to glean unto the end of barley harvest and of wheat harvest, and dwelt with her mother-in-law. You see, there were a lot of things that could have easily allured Ruth into other people's fields and into relationships with young men. Boaz says in Ruth chapter 3, verse 10, Inasmuch as thou followest not young men, whether poor or rich. And you know something? We also need to be separated from the world and worldly influences and those that are not Christ's. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 17 and 18, Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And will be a father unto you, and you shall be sons and daughters, my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. What does he say? Come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And you know, in Christianity, there's very little separation. All the big performers these days, all the ones that are doing all the new music, the big and up, you know, really fancy preachers and all that, they're very, very worldly in their appearance and very, very worldly in their demeanor. And I know why that is. They don't want the world to feel uncomfortable in their presence, so they'll come in and hear the gospel message and hopefully get saved. Well, you know, honestly, once that happens, where are you going to go with them? Because you have now gone down to their level, so much so that you can't take them up to Christ's level beyond that. Do you understand? And the Lord says there needs to be some separation here, because what communion hath Christ with Belial? And the answer is none. Now, Ruth didn't intermingle with anybody but those workers there in that field, and she stayed with her mother-in-law. She was separated. And the church is to be separated from the world. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, see, is of the world. That's not of the Father. A couple of other things we need to look at real quickly. First of all, she found rest in Boaz. Ruth chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Naomi, her mother-in-law, said unto her, My daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee? You know what Jesus said to us in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28? Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I will give thee rest. We find our rest in Jesus Christ. She found her rest in Boaz. Another thing is that she let Boaz know that she would marry him. In Ruth chapter 3, verses 6 through 11, you know, we studied that recently, but she lays down at Boaz's feet to let him know she wants to receive him. And you know something? We get saved when we let Jesus Christ know that we want to receive him. The Bible says, But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And when we do that, we become a part of the bride, according to Ephesians chapter 5, verses 25 to 32. And Jesus Christ becomes our bridegroom. When you let him know, when you receive him, then you get saved. And then finally, in Ruth chapter 4, verse 13, she marries her Redeemer. Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife. And in Revelation chapter 19, verses 7 to 9, the church is going to marry Jesus Christ, our Redeemer. What a beautiful picture this is. Ruth is the type of the church because she was a stranger, a Gentile bride. She turned from her God to the Lord God. She repented. She was steadfastly minded, as we should be. She worked in Boaz's harvest fields, as we are to work in the harvest fields of the Lord God. She was a good worker, and Titus tells us we are to maintain good work. She humbled herself before Boaz, and we're to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. She was rewarded for her labor, and we will be at the judgment seat of Christ. She was separated, as we should be, from the world. She found rest in Boaz, as we should find rest in Jesus Christ. She let Boaz know that she would marry him, as we let Christ know we want to receive him, and we receive him as our Savior. And she married her Redeemer, as we will marry the Lord Jesus Christ soon, I hope, after his return. And we look for his return soon. I hope he comes. Like John said, even so, come Lord Jesus. I'm ready to see our groom.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. If you would like more information about our broadcast ministry or Bible Believers Baptist Church, we have two websites that are available to help you. For rebroadcast of our radio messages, or for answers to nearly 200 of the most commonly asked Bible questions from our listeners, go to www.unknownbible.com. That's www.unknownbible.com. For information about our church and for an abundance of both Sunday school and Bible study material, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's www.my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. That's 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you. In the meantime, stay tuned each weekday afternoon at 4 p.m. right here on KCTA for The Unknown Bible. Hallelujah.